This is Phil Ferrand, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It is episode 279. It's been a good week. Got my design phase finished. I thought earlier at the beginning of the week that I was actually going to go over a week or so, but I didn't. I had told my major client that I would get the design phase finished by the end of July, and I got it done. And we actually had a meeting this afternoon, and we did a read-through, and we got approval to move forward. So, done. And it's July the 31st. So that's good. I always like hitting my deadlines. A little over on hours. I had estimated for this that we were going to be somewhere around, I think it was 170, 175. And I think by the time it's all said and done, it's going to be somewhere around 220. But I had said plus or minus 10 or 25% sometime. And if it's plus or minus 10%, 170, 175, we'll say. That's another 17 hours. So, you know, I did go over some, but not too bad. And everyone seemed to be happy with the document and with the approach and the plans. And, you know, so that all seemed to go fine. Everybody's excited about it. So that's good. That's good. And, you know, it just so happened that July was a long month. So, anyways, I like to come in on time, but, you know, if I maintain a reasonable gap, I don't feel so bad. Anyways, so there's that. Next week, we start the development phase of the first effort. Since there were so many initiatives, we broke them up into efforts. And so we start the first development phase of the first effort and going to get the programmers involved, three programmers there. So we're going to divvy up the tasks and get them out to everybody. And I'm going to kind of be overseeing and kind of seeing what progress, you know, we're making here and there, and be available for helps and those types of things. So the programmers themselves have actually seen the plan. They know what we're doing, and it all seems copacetic to them. So I think, you know, we're going to be in pretty good shape there. So, you know, all seems good. We've got work then set aside. I think we estimated somewhere around 650 hours for this. And so while they're working on that, then I'm going to get started working on the design of MFA, the next thing that's coming along. Next two applications, actually, that are coming along. Start working through the design on that. And so that'll be interesting. Brand new project there to start working on. I just got done with a over two hour meeting where I read through the design document. And we had lots of discussions and stuff. So I'm a little brain tired, and my voice is a little tired, but we're gonna make it. In other news, working along on the second book in the Windfall series, Windfall Broadcast, and that seems to be going well. It's heading off in other directions than I thought it was going to go, but that's kind of to be expected. Been working along on that. I have crested 100 pages on that, and If in manuscript this runs out to 375 pages or so in manuscript, I am well over a quarter of the way. I'm expecting this to come in somewhere around 100,000 words, hopefully. And so, you know, I'm closing in, I think, on 30,000 words. So it won't be too much longer when I will technically, supposedly, be a third of the way. So that all going well. I'm getting to the point where there's supposed to be like a big ta-da, big action scene. And I don't know quite what we're doing yet. I know some of what we're doing, but I don't, you know, it's writing is so interesting. It's just so interesting because it's things unfold. And obviously, I may have to go back and correct some of the stuff, but, you know, we'll get it corrected. Some of the characterizations aren't quite right yet, but I'll go. What I normally do is kind of get them down and figure out what's going on, and then I back up and recharacterize a little bit to justify the actions that the characters are taking. I know that's probably not how you're supposed to do things, but that's the way I do it, and I'm just going for passable mediocrity, so it will be fine. So that's all going well. I have heard back from a few more people, who have finished, the book, and they've been very kind in their words. So, you know, we'll see what people think of it. And, it's always nice to hear when, you know, people have enjoyed something. So, trying to think if there's anything else on that front. I don't think so. Lots of goings on in the world. Lots of fascinating things going on in the world. Several weeks ago, I had seen that the two founders of Google, Larry Page and Sergey Brin, had conducted a rare joint interview with a man named Vinod Khosla. He appeared to be some kind of a venture capitalist type thing. And so I find these things interesting. So I actually found it on YouTube and kind of scanned through it. And there were some specific things that Larry Page and Sergey Brin said that people made note of, and I made note of them as well, and found myself in agreement with at least two articles that were written. Now, the caveat here is that these poor guys are up on a stage talking extemporaneously, but presumably talking extemporaneously about things they have given some thought to, and given that they have been anointed as futurists because of their business success and because of their technological involvement and because of the multitude of projects that they are working on, given that they have been anointed to be the oracles of telling us what's coming and what's beneficial and what's, you know, the direction that we are all going. One would assume that they have thought about a few of the statements that they have made. And I think it's really fascinating to hear some of these statements. And I did go back and watch the original interview just to make sure, in fact, the statements that were being attributed to them were being quoted correctly, and they were. And I think it indicates some very interesting things, some of which are discussed in the two articles that I picked up for notes today. But one thing that was not, and we will get to that eventually. And it's, you know, no big earth-shaking thing, but I think it just illustrates the point that I have come to in my own life in reflecting on opportunities and seized opportunities and things that turn successful and what does that mean in the larger scope and picture of life in general. And then how does that cascade out to the decisions that we would make day in and day out. So anyways, one of the things that really got highlighted in this speech, and I saw several articles on it, as I said, was when Larry Page, and Sergey Brin began to talk about the future and what they would see happening in the future. And I can't even remember if the moderator actually asked a question or they just sort of wandered into this themselves with some of comments that they made, because they were talking about all the different projects they were working on. And one of the things that they believe is that while it is true that driving your own car is less expensive than having a chauffeured car drive you around, according to their numbers, it is also true that it is far less expensive to simply have a driverless car come and pick you up and take you someplace and drop you off than it is for you to own your own car. And of course, the driverless car has been a vision that Google has pursued for many years and seems to be making really good progress on. So I think part of that then evolved into them discussing the fact that they appear to believe that what technology is going to do is usher in a utopian lifestyle where people can work less and people can pursue the things that really make them happy without necessarily have to put in all of the effort that we currently put in. So Page said specifically, if you really think about the things you need to make yourself happy, housing, security, opportunity for your kids, it's not that hard for us to provide those things. The idea that everyone needs to work frantically to meet people's needs is not true. Okay. And the first article that I was reading said, you know, that may be true for the 1%ers who own successful companies or hold the majority of assets. He said, but the facts are that people in the working world are struggling harder than ever as technology has expanded the workforce and enabled competition from around the world. And in fact, part of the discussion when they were talking about this was the fact that technology was going to replace a significant number of jobs. So it wasn't that Larry Page and Sergey Brin were thinking that technology wasn't going to eliminate jobs. They somehow believe that as this technology is created, that just like perhaps Google offers all of its technology for free, that's other companies are going to do that. And so all of this technology will then just usher in a utopia where we can get the food we need without necessarily needing a whole bunch of money to do it. Page actually said, Larry Page actually said that he believed that people would be happy to have more time with their family or to pursue their own interest. Well, you know, as the one article I was reading said, that's not exactly breaking news. Of course we would like more time with our families. But the issue is, who can afford to do that? As the article said, where is technology leading us today? And the author of the first article that I was reading said quite appropriately, the technology hasn't to date, and free market led us in this direction where people can work less, and free market forces will likely continue to dictate that corporations reduce costs where they can. That they will, offering the same amount of money for less work when the supply of workers is increasing, doesn't pass the free market smell test. And I absolutely agree with that. You know, what we see on the horizon is the fact that technology is removing more jobs, increasing the labor pool, and businesses have zero incentive to pay more to their workers for less work when the labor pool is increasing and people are willing to work more for less money. I mean, it's exactly opposite what you would expect. So, in terms of that, Sergey Brin, you know, in kind of reacting against what Larry Page was saying, he had a slightly different take, and Sergey Brin said, well, I don't think that in the near term the need for labor is going away. It gets shifted from one place to another, but people always want more stuff and more, or more entertainment or more creativity or something. And he said, in the article, they said, it remains to be seen if American workers will be able to work less and make more money. For the founders of Google, this may be the case, but for the average workers who are constantly being squeezed by corporations looking to cut costs and generate higher earnings, not so much. And, I would hasten to add, when we're talking about people always wanting more stuff and more entertainment or more creativity or more something, a lot of those mores don't necessarily translate to jobs that pay money. Especially if you're talking about more creativity and more entertainment, because one of the things that the internet has done is that, and the tools, the new technology tools, they have made it possible so that pretty much anyone can be a creator. I'm not saying they're going to be good. I'm saying anyone can be a creator. And so where in the past, I as a writer might have taken a hard run at trying to get someone to publish me, trying to make money that way and trying to dedicate my life to producing all this creativity, in essence now I'm to the place, because of what's happening in the systems, that I do that for free. In other words, there is no money there. So that then drives me back in to work, thankfully at a profession that hasn't been done away with yet, but will be eventually by computers. Because programming at the end of the day is not that hard. We, in business programming especially, we do the same thing over and over and over and over. It's just ins and outs and moving stuff around and presentation and business processes and blah, 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 blah. So eventually that is going to be replaced by expert systems. It is. I think I'll probably be retired by then, so ta-da. But I'm not necessarily going to be able to make any money at producing some of the more that people are supposedly wanting. So I don't think you can necessarily say that just because people want more stuff, then there will always be a need for labor. because what technology is doing is it's making it, it possible to produce more stuff with less and less people. So there was another article then that took another article then that took something else that I think it was Larry Page said. I'm getting my mail. One moment. I think it was that Larry Page said, in response to all this basic thing of, okay, look, you know, technology is going to eliminate jobs. And the moderator was saying that in the next so many years that his estimates were that technology, or somebody's estimates were, that technology would eliminate 40% of the jobs in the world. Which is going to be very interesting. And so Larry Page was responding to that. And with his responses, the second article was titled Google CEO Fight Unemployment. You know, this is what the Google CEO says. Fight unemployment with job sharing. And Larry Page did actually say this. I'm backing into my garage. One moment. So, supposedly, you know, in reacting to what Larry Page said, the author of this second article said this: in the future, we will work less and enjoy more leisure time being shuttled around in self-driving cars attended by artificial intelligence that makes better decisions than we do. So that may sound like a setup for an episode of Star Trek, but it's the world Google founders see ahead of us. Because, let's see. Oh, and I heard Larry Page say this, but I wasn't sure what he meant, so it's good that somebody actually... said Larry Page said, I totally believe we should be living in a time of abundance, like Peter Diamandis' book. Okay, the writer of the article goes on to say that Abundance, from the Free Press, 2012, is a book by Peter Diamandis and Stephen Kotler that reviewer Timothy Ogden describes as techno-utopianism at its worst, because it sees every problem as something technology can solve. The New York Times review is a bit more charitable, finding the book's optimism appealing despite some quibbles. So, according to that, it appears that idle... Let's see. Anyways, Page contends that people don't need to work hard to take care of... He says that people aren't happy when they're idle, so they need to be given something to do. So, he's recognizing people are going to be all out of work, so they need to send this. And it appears that idle workers will become more common. In a recent Fortune article, Martin Ford, author of The Lights in the Tunnel, Automation Accelerating Technology in the Economy of the Future, argues that there's mounting evidence that unemployment will remain high for years because of the because automation obviates the needs for a growing range of human skills. Andrew McAfee, principal research scientist at MIT, co-author of The Second Machine Age, said, I don't know how you can make the case that manufacturing technologies are creating as many jobs as they're destroying. So Page's answer, this is Larry Page's answer to this. He said, I was talking to Richard Branson about this, said Page. They don't have enough jobs in the UK. He's been trying to get people to hire two part-time people instead of one full-time people. So then at least the young people can have a half-time job rather than no job. And it's a slightly greater cost for employers. I was thinking the extension of that is that you have global unemployment and widespread unemployment. You must reduce work time. Okay, so in other words, their solution is, we know that technology is going to take away a lot of jobs, but we still believe in the utopia because then people will just work less and then they'll be able to spend more time with their families. There's a small problem with that, and that is that people can't afford to work less. You know, what the guy pointed out in the article is he said, with 50% less income, the things people need to be happy which probably extend beyond Page's list of housing security and opportunities for offering, become harder to afford. He said, and what's interesting is that within Google itself, Larry Page doesn't appear to have taken steps to encourage Googlers to work less. And in fact, Sergey Brin voiced his disagreement with the idea, so don't expect widespread job sharing at Google or other Silicon companies anytime soon. That's when the, the moderator, I mentioned the 40 years, the moderator said that he predicted the need for a vastly expanded welfare program. And he said, quote, Khosla, the moderator, looking 40 years out, I find it hard to imagine why we won't need to support half the population to not work, but pursue other interests that are interesting to them. So the guy ended with a little funny. He said, just think, the art writer of the art, just think, you could get paid to post cat pictures on Google Plus. Techno-utopianism, indeed. Okay, so one of the takeaways that you can come up with this is that it appears that Sergey Brin and Larry Page are, in fact, living in some kind of world where the rest of us don't live. Now, that's part of that's probably true. And they're going to see it a certain way because they have a vested interest in seeing how great all this is going to be that they're bringing about. They certainly don't want to be hung with the moniker of here are the people who basically destroyed working people's lives and brought about the next great welfare state. That's probably not what they want their legacy to be. But what I was struck with as I was listening to them, and I was listening to them making these statements, and I was thinking, I don't think that's right. What I was struck with was the fact that these are the guys that are at, if not the top, one of the top technology companies in the world. And I'm listening to them and thinking, you know, at the end of the day, I don't really see that these guys have this all figured out. At the end of the day, I don't see anything that convinces me that it was inevitable for them to end up where they were. And it all comes back to that idea that I've mentioned multiple times. Where we end up in life, successful, not successful, you know, with money, without money, certainly we can point back in our histories for those of us who have enjoyed a bit of success. We can point back in our histories and say, well, I did the work. Well, yeah, I did do the work. You know, like with the music notation system and with the writing with the Nitpicker's Guide, I did do the work with the consulting stuff. I did do the work. I based that all on sound principles and I did the work. But I don't think at this point in my life, simply basing stuff on sound principles and doing the work automatically guarantees that you are going to achieve a level of financial independence. I think by following the principles of flesh and spirit, it guarantees you live a successful life in the way that I define success. But I don't necessarily think that it's going to make you money and mean that you never have to work again. Hi, sweetie. Oh, that's fine. Are you taking off?
I am.
So, because of that, I think what's happening... love you, love you, love you, love you. Because there is in life this component, this random component. And even if you cross all your T's and you dot all your I's, there's still going to be this random component, and you may not be in the right place at the right time, or meeting the right people, you just might not. And I think what we have in Larry Page and in Sergey Brin are people who are at the right time and the right place, who made a certain set of decisions that worked out very well for them. And so I'm not sure that the typical thing that we do of, oh, let's interview them because they can tell us the secret of life. I'm not sure that that's really true. I think stuff sometimes just happens. And if you had picked those guys up and delayed their entrance into university by 5 years, or preceded their entrance into university by 5 years, there would be a whole different thing. And so I think, at least in my life, what I really tried to do, I look back and I am so grateful for the successes that I've had. I'm so grateful for where it has put us financially, because life is good. Life is really good. But I don't spend a lot of time puffing out my chest and saying, well, I am the great oracle now because I have everything figured. Well, I do see some of that. But I do. I'm not really thinking that everybody in the world should listen to everything I have to say, because I'm just kind of muddling along like everybody else. I think I've got some really good stuff that can help people. But it's not going to help people in the way that we typically think it will help people. Like, I am never going to claim that if you have an understanding of the flesh and the spirit, that suddenly you're going to be wealthy and all your money woes are just going to disappear. Because it's not going to happen. It's just not. And it all comes down to how we define success. And in our world, obviously, if you're looking at the founders of a company who are each billionaires, then all of a sudden we decide they're successful and everything they say must make sense. But I got to tell you, this stuff about, yes, people will just work less. Yes, we'll live in a utopia and no one will have to do more work than they want to, and they can just spend time with their family and they'll just have food to eat and everything will be great. I'm sorry, I am not buying it. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home.